come on.
Go?
Yeah, now.
I can go now. Okay. So, how's everybody doing?
Okay.
Not as good as we hoped.
There's an answer I wanted to hear. All right? This is the performance category. It used to be called presentation, but it's nothing really new. We've been doing this for a long time, moving performances to be better communicators on stage, everything that we do to our audience members, right? That's the name of the game here, communication to them. Otherwise, we could just buy a CD and play a radio and stay home.
God, I've said that for years.
But you could, you want to be on stage, you want to entertain, you want to be in front of the audience.
Yes.
So we want to make sure that what we're doing there is worthy of a stage ticket, right? Making sure that we're communicating everything we need to do. So, in the range of scores we have today, right? You guys have all seen the scoring sheet. Have you talked about the scores for you guys? Yep. Across the board?
Not as a group. No.
Not as a group? Okay. So from presentation, 66 from me, 65 from Brian, 67 from me, and then a 69 from Brian on make me laugh, all right? Make him laugh. So what is that characteristic? The characteristic I want to talk about is that scoring range, but the question and the answer I heard when I walked in the door is, did you achieve what you wanted to achieve on stage today?
No.
No. Okay. So what were the characteristics that you felt were missing? I'm asking you, not but the score number, I'm asking what you felt personally were missing on your performance on stage. Was there anything you felt you were missing? This is an audience participation game here.
Some confidence.
Some
energy.
Confidence.
Energy in the first time.
Some energy. What else? Anybody else has anything else? Personally, step up to the plate if you want to say what took you in or out of the performance itself, because this is everybody's game, right? We all need to be on.
Nine risers at the back of the stage.
Nine risers at the back of the stage, right? It makes a deep connection for you to try to reach your audience, right? All the way back to the front, right? Those things. So I'm gonna say that with the scores that you see, 66, 65, and then the 67, 69, right? This is a cusp of a scoring bracket that you're sitting in right here, all right? And for the guys that were in the quartets last night, some of you heard me talk about this. 61 to 66 for us, the characteristics of that is that you've got some confidence, you've got a good foundation of barbershop style, you know what to present. The consistency is not always there, right? There's consistency, but it's not always there. And when you get to 66, up to that point, it's an undistinguished performance, all right? When you go above that, 67 to 73, a very enjoyable performance. Somebody's going to remember your set on stage. They're going to remember what you did. There's going to be some poignant point of that song that has touched them that they're going to be able to walk away with, and they're going to remember that. So if we went to the audience and asked them about your first song, what do they remember about your first song? Will somebody be able to play back what they remember to your song? Did you ask anybody?
No.
Do you think anybody would with the first song?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. Okay. I'll forget you. Right? What is the song about? What's the intent behind the song? I'll forget you. Right?
You want us to answer?
Yes. Whatever an honest answer is behind that.
Other than the director.
Other than the director, that would be good. Because I'm also looking for ownership.
Right.
I'm also looking for ownership of the set. Right? Ownership of you as a performer. Remember, the director is the one that has his back to the audience. Right? We don't get much verbal communication skills out of the back of the director's head. Except we do get some, believe it or not. When we start seeing the director do this, we know that the singers on the stage are not doing this. So we probably have already figured that out, but he's trying to help that go along, right? What do you guys feel about Forget You? Tell me what you think.
I'm not sure we set the mood strongly enough.
Okay, when you say set the mood to the audience or set the mood yourself as an individual performer?
I felt that I was into it, but I don't know whether the chorus was fully into it.
Okay.
And I don't know whether we certainly didn't reach the judges.
Okay. And by the score that we got gave.
Right.
You, as you sing, and you're not in the middle of the pack, I don't see how you pick up really what the other guys are doing unless they're
Okay, that's good, because I have a tool that I wanted to practice with you guys that I think will help tremendously here on this.
To answer your first question, I think it's a whole sentiment is on the point of love, and it's either a conversation with the person that you're fighting over, or it's a soliloquy.
Okay.
And I think that's in our practice. I think that's the sense that we've attempted to capture.
So, in the song, if you think through the song itself all the way through, isn't there a whole lot of things that are virtually impossible that need to happen in order for you to finally say, "I'll forget you"? Is it
right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Barrow stops singing. Stop shining.
Right. There's a whole bunch of things that are pretty much stopped. So the intent behind this is that I'm never going to forget you.
Exactly.
Right.
I am never going to forget you. And so to an audience member, that's the point that they want to be able to play back to you. All right? I felt the connection that, yes, given all of these impossible things that would ever happen, would they ever stop? And where is that going to come from? It's primarily going to come from your visual presentation on this. And your vocal. You're going to be able to shape the vocalness to paint the picture, but the visual is not going to be there unless you really sell that to them and they understand that. So here's where the tool comes in. Everybody gets to stand up. We form a big circle around as wide as we can in this room right now. Single line circle all the way around. If you need to stand in sections, that's okay. But nobody doubled up.
Yeah.
Fill the big room. Fill it all behind me. Fill the whole big section. Okay? Fill everybody's in place. Okay? Fill the circle up so you can see somebody. So, you're in. Here's the goal. You're going to start communicating with somebody across the circle. And they're going to decide if you're buying it or not. Alright? Are they buying it? Are you selling it? Is it working? Are you doing exactly what you need to communicate for this part of this song? Alright, we're going to go a few phrases, and then I'm going to stop you and ask you for 30 seconds to walk over to that person and give them some comments. And then come back and we're going to do this again. Alright? Start away. Where are we going to start? Okay?
Though you have said, forgive me.
Feedback, right? Use that to your advantage, and this time through, I want you to make sure that as you're performing, you're looking across this mirror, right? And it's giving you active feedback now. And if your performance needs to change while you're singing now, adjust as needed. But you've been given some trigger points to think about. All right, go for it. Right, start from the beginning.
Though you have said, forgive me. Though you have said, goodbye.
Said goodbye.
You taught me love.
Use the live feedback across the circle.
And love can never die.
But the director down front has a whole priority list of things that need to be happening. So occasionally I suggest you get people in this circle so that they can start using this as part of their feedback mechanism. That way you get some unity of what everybody's doing and work across the board. So what I'm saying now is now I'm starting to see that you're going to be able to touch an audience member and communicate with them because they're believing in what you're saying. That's going to move the score up to close to where you're set. Now make them laugh, right? We Brian wrote down on his sheet, he says, I got the feeling that they like this song better than they do the first song, right? So I'm gonna ask this question. What's the experience level with this song versus the experience level with the second song? Have they both been in the repertoire the same amount of time? Have they both been
yeah, pretty close,
close.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty close. Close. Okay.
Maybe
so
the battle a little half a year longer.
Half a year longer
maybe.
On. Okay. So there isn't the life that it is, right? When we're storytellers and we're standing up in front of an audience and we're motivated to sing to the audience member, there's gotta be that internal motivation that says, I need to get this story out, it's gotta be there, and it's gotta be fresh. The difference is in the ballad, we weren't feeling the freshness of the tune, right? We were singing it, but there was much more of the excitement built into making laugh as we're going across. I will say on All the Rage, right? There's a post where we grow and grow and add to that. We went into what I call face lock or tuning lock, right? Your faces went into, I'm tuning the chord, I'm making sure I'm singing in good vocal production skills. You've kind of checked out of your communication with the audience at that point, right? So there's a delicate balance there, right? Of how do I keep doing that and still communicate, making sure I'm doing that. Walk and chew gum is very much the same one. The other thing is the bass feature, right? Because I'm going down a couple of places, so you're hearing some inconsistency. As you went low in your range, then you drop down into that, we lost the diction of the words as an audience member. If you're telling us a story, I need to understand the words. I need to understand the word sounds. I mean, we do listen to word sounds and we form our own words, but it was losing it because of where we went down on the bass feature on that. Body involvement all the way through on this one. There were some good ones that were put in there, but I think there's still a lightness that can make them happen. And what I will suggest to you is that use your body to give your vocal production a lot better foundation to it. All right. Some of us could use more air as we're falling through. You know, you're not required to sing 100% of the notes and words in a performance. That's why you're in a chorus. Right? You sing the words and notes that you can in good quality to contribute to the good quality of the sound, and then you use my favorite phrase, which is this, then you contribute in other ways, all right? Which means if this is not in your wheelhouse, for some reason for the basses, if going down on that bass feature is not in your wheelhouse, you don't have to tell me that it's not in your wheelhouse, you're still performing. You may be mouthing words, right? You may be still performing, but that's what I need to see, even if it's not in your wheelhouse. Even if there's something happening that is, you're out of breath because your personal breath plan has been affected. lost in the middle of it, all right? So those are the key places that I wanted to bring your attention to. I hope this was helpful to you guys. I hope you can see that in the video, all right? Thank you all for singing and entertaining today.